It is October 28th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The Futures Industry Association yesterday made a $3,000 contribution to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign, and Trading Technologies matched it, nearly completing TT's pledge to match $20,000 worth of contributions to the campaign. The FIA contributed to the campaign in compensation to John Lothian Productions for repurposing content from our Game Changers, the History of Financial Futures video series, and producing a 5-minute video for the upcoming FIA Expo. The video celebrates the 50th anniversary of the successful launch of financial futures with the launch of the international monetary market. The video will also celebrate many other anniversaries, including the 40th anniversary of the S&P 500 and other stock index futures, the creation of cash settlement and Eurodollar futures, and the launch of European derivatives exchanges in London and Frankfurt, among other locations. There will be a short 15-minute ceremony at the start of Expo when the video will be shown, and Leo Melamed and Richard Sandor will be asked to make some short remarks, assuming they are both available to attend. We are pleased to play a small role in the celebration of the industry's 50th anniversary celebration of the start of the modern era of finance and derivatives markets. We thank the FIA and TT for their contributions to the GoFundMe campaign, which was set up to give us the resources to be able to capture the history of our industry on video, something we've been doing for the past 11 years. JLN started the History of Financial Futures project back in 2011 after Chicago Corp founder Jack Wing passed away. We realized if we were losing important stalwarts of our industry like Wing, we needed to get other major participants who helped build our markets into what they are today on video before the opportunity was no longer there. We subsequently launched the Open Outcry Traders History Project to capture individual traders' histories and the Path to Electronic Trading series to capture the story of the development of electronic trading in our markets. This year, we launched a new series on the history of environmental markets. The GoFundMe campaign's goal is $300,000, and we are just short of $70,000 raised online so far. Thank you to all who have contributed and all who have yet to give. I have some bad news. If the Philadelphia Phillies win the World Series against the Houston Astros, the economy and your portfolio might be in trouble. MarketWatch has the story titled, "The Phillies Made the World Series. Is a stock market crash next? Why some see this baseball team's success as a bad omen." Our friends at GetRealXR flagged the first metaverse auction to be conducted on an interest in a racehorse. The story is titled, "Keeneland to Auction Off Fractional Interest in Flightline." The minimum price increment of Spikes futures at MIAX is moving to 1 cent from a nickel on October 31st. The London Metal Exchange is making 15-minute delayed LME select quotes for the steel contract freely available on LME.com. The LME is also launching new incentive programs and daily liquidity windows for the LME Steel Scrap CFR Turkey and Steel Rebar FOB Turkey contracts. Details are available in an S&P Global story. There's a link in today's newsletter. JLN will have a booth at the FIA Expo Hall where we'll be conducting video interviews. We are interested in talking to you if you have something new to share or wish to share your views on the current state of the industry. But more importantly, we want to know how ESG is impacting your firm and those of your clients. If you're interested in an interview, email me at johnlothian.com. The Securities and Financial Markets Association, SIFMA, will host a listed options symposium on November 9th and an equity market structure conference on November 10th in New York City. The keynote speaker at the listed options symposium will be Henry Schwartz, Vice President, Global Head of Client Engagement, Data, and Access Solutions at Cboe Global Markets. The program will cover such topics as what's next for option market structure, regulation, transparency, and the interplay between SEC releases, the future of the options market, and the movement to index options and other investor trends. The Equity Market Structure Conference keynote speaker is Jessica Watker, Chief Economist and Director of the Division of Economic and Risk Analysis, U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. Other speakers will cover the following topics: equity market structure reform, regulation, the interplay between the SEC releases and cross-border developments, debrief on the 2022 midterms, roadmap to 2050 and emerging trends, market data, and what's trending in ETFs. For more information, you can visit links in today's newsletter for the listed options symposium and the equity market structure conference, Sarah Rudolph reported. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Our Markets Wiki short of the day is Bill Hartz from the Modern Markets Initiative at the Time, How a Small Group of Traders Improve Markets for All. In the 2014 release of Michael Lewis's book, Flash Boys, unleashed widespread criticism of the automated trading community amid Lewis's assertion that markets are rigged against small investors. According to Bill Hart, CEO of the Modern Markets Initiative, nothing could be further from the truth. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The title is, Discontent Rises in Europe as Economic War with Russia Pushes Up Cost of Living. Governments fear protests against high energy prices could weaken public support for Ukraine. A wave of protests triggered by rocketing living costs and a looming recession is sweeping across Europe, testing the resolve of governments that have so far maintained unity in their costly economic war with Russia. The public backlash against high prices for electricity and heating as temperatures begin to fall is also fueling tensions between European capitals over richer nations' larger relief packages, which poorer neighbors say are distorting the market and compounding the crisis. People forget how easy they have it. Having to collect firewood or burn your furniture for a fire is far worse, and it was not so long ago that authoritarian aggression caused that to happen. Here's another story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Stuck in a wine rut? You're certainly not alone. From a couple who can't quit their favorite box of rosé to a sommelier's Spotley's rabbit hole, some people often develop intense attachment to particular wines. Should we be working harder to get outside our comfort zone? Professionally, I taste different wines most days of the week. On my own time, I drink the same wine repeatedly. It's not exactly the same wine every time, but it's the same type of wine, Chablis. I love Chablis so much that whenever I'm in a wine store, I find it hard not to buy a bottle or three. I love its racy, minerally character and find it's not only reliably good, but reliably cheap too. It pairs well with a wide range of foods and it's great all by itself too. Still, recently I began to wonder, has my relationship with Chablis become less like a love affair and more like a rut? My comment, PTS help, I'm stuck in a wine rut and can't get out. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Chicago bets on quantum tech as next big thing for its future. State of Illinois is home to 4 of 10 national quantum centers. Mayor Lightfoot, this is the next big thing in our economy. Chicago is betting on quantum, a technology that could ensure everything from emails to online shopping is 100% secure to fuel future economic growth. But there's still much work to do before the city realizes its dream of becoming the nation's capital for the promising technology, best known for traditional industries including food, agriculture, and manufacturing. The Windy City has been trying to lure investments from companies such as Google Inc. and Amazon as it shifts its focus to quantum, which promises to make internet communication unhackable. My comment, the Chicago mayor might know what she is doing after all. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was CME defends FCM application from Markets Media. Second was ABN AMRO Clearing Bank's announcement that it has appointed Robert Pooler as chief financial officer based in Chicago. Third was a tie between the CQG announcement, CQG Nuts Finance launch Optio Research to develop institutional cryptocurrency infrastructure and trading solutions, and Bloomberg's once-in-a-generation wealth boom ends for America's middle class. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is from the Wall Street Journal. The headline reads, SEC favors midpoint prices on stock investor trades in rules overhaul. Proposal reflects plan for broad changes in how small investor orders are handled. The Securities and Exchange Commission's planned overhaul of stock trading rules seeks to ensure that small investors get better prices when buying or selling stocks. One of the SEC's aims is to increase the likelihood that investors get the midpoint price on trades halfway between the publicly displayed buying and selling price or better. A proposal under consideration by the agency would generally require brokers to route small investors' market orders into auctions where trading firms would compete to execute them, people familiar with the matter said. SEC Chairman Gary Gensler first floated the idea to such auctions in June. The auction requirement would apply to orders less than $200,000 by customers who average fewer than 40 trades a day, the people said. Here's another story. This is also from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, NFT prosecution sparks debate over insider trading label for digital token classes. Judge rejects defense attorney's request to ban phrase insider trading from what federal prosecutors call first ever case. Insider trading typically evokes the idea of a well-connected investor using secret information to profit from stock trades. Now a federal judge has allowed the Justice Department to use the same kind of narrative in a first ever case about the trading of digital tokens, even though the prosecutors didn't bring traditional insider trading charges. The use of insider trading language emerged as a flashpoint in the New York case, which the Justice Department says is its maiden prosecution for insider trading of NFTs or non-fungible tokens, which are digital proofs of purchase for goods such as art. Prosecutors allege a former employee of NFT marketplace OpenSea profited from non-public information by purchasing tokens that he knew would soon be featured on OpenSea's homepage. The defendant, Nathaniel Chasten, knew the tokens would rise in value after being showcased, prosecutor said. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. Hong Kong Exchange starts carbon trading platform matching rival Singapore. Hong Kong Stock Exchange started its first voluntary carbon credit trading platform in a bid to bolster climate-related products on the back of growing demand. Carbon credits on the core climate platform will come from internationally certified projects, including carbon avoidance, reduction, and removal projects, Hong Kong said Friday. All projects listed will be verified against international standards such as the Verified Carbon Standard by Vera. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.